Timer.
What's the next one?
Three common mistakes people make while predator hunting. I don't know how you want to word that.
The top three biggest mistakes you'll make when predator hunting.
If you need the shot. Yeah. That'll get good engagement.
Oh, boy. You ready? Oh, it's running?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, today's 12 minute talk is... Wait, you should probably just leave all that stupid shit in there. Yeah. In my opinion, these are the most important. It's pretty hard to put it. Like, top three is pretty tough because there's like so many mistakes people make. But
number one, slamming the car door.
That literally is number one, being too loud.
Oh, is it really?
Like I said, top three most, I'd probably call it the most common mistakes people make while predator hunting is being too loud. Number one, being too loud, slamming the door, clanging gates, everything else, like just anything being loud, walking into a stand, yelling and cussing and screaming at your teammates or whatever the case may be, being too loud. Like you're literally walking into the area, you're about to try and call a predator in. Being loud, that's stupid. Like if they're close by, if you've done any kind of scouting whatsoever, or if you're set up in the right area, you go in there being loud, you might be alerting animals and they might be leaving. And I don't, you know, I don't even like spooking other animals walking into a stand. Like quail, dove, those types of birds, there's nothing you could do. Like sometimes you just walk up on them when you're walking into a stand. It irritates me to know him. It's just like, you know, making all their fucking racket flying off. And I'm just like, usually I just walk a little bit further. But being too loud in general, that's a huge no-no. And I've seen this so many times hunting with other people. Like they don't take what they're doing serious enough. Because like if I'm setting up in the right spot, it's generally because I believe that there are animals in the area. And why would I walk in there being loud? Like, why not slip up in there to where you could potentially sit up on top of them? It's just my opinion, folks. But anyways, being too loud, number one, most common mistake. And that's, you know, that was the easy one. Like, that's one of my big pet peeves. But anyways, number two, moving while they are looking, or moving in general on a stand. It's very important not to move around a lot. It's even more important.
Why are you staring at me when you're saying this?
It has nothing to do with you. You're pretty good.
No, yeah. I have that ADHD, like handshakes and leg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're pretty good. But I mean, over the years of hunting with tons and tons of different people, I can always tell who the folks that... This is probably my people... This is probably why people are going to continue to call me a Richard, because like I don't know how else to put this other than just say it. Like I could tell who isn't experienced, hasn't been hunting very long, who isn't very successful by how they act on stand. Now I get it. Like, you know, a lot of predator hunters are predator hunters because they don't have to sit still for very long. But if you want to be successful, you need to understand that these animals make their living in the wild, and you don't. Your eyes aren't adapted for catching movement like a bobcat's. They are. And if you have the sound source near you, or if you're mouth calling, that's why I don't like mouth calling during bobcat stands. They are looking right towards you. They are looking for that movement. So if you're fidgety, you're moving around too much, or my biggest pet peeve is as soon as someone sees an animal, they automatically sling their shit around to get on them. Instead of actually waiting for the most opportune moment, which is when they're looking away. Directly when they're not looking at you. Because more times than not, what they're going to do is stop moving. They're going to stop and look right at you. Tim Spike Davis, love him to death. But as soon as he sees a cow, he is moving his rifle towards it.
Well, he waited 7 years, however long.
Yeah, no. He's like, I don't want to do this one. Get away. But it was like, I'm just like, ugh. It's like, they're looking for that movement. And if you give them movement, they're going to shut it down. They're going to stop. They're going to get weary than anything else. Like, sometimes, you know, there's always caveats. There's always exceptions to every rule. Some cows, like, you could literally stand up and scream at them, and it seems like they might run you over. 9 times out of 10, though, if you wait till they look away, because eventually, like, if you're not moving when they once appear into your general area, they're eventually going to, like, look around. They're looking for movement. That's literally what they're looking for. They're going to look around, look for movement, and then they're going to be moving across the landscape looking for the best path to take to go wherever they're wanting to go, whether it be to the call or downwind of the call. So if you'll just wait till they're looking away to position yourself better, you're going to be much more successful, or you're going to shoot stuff a lot closer than you would otherwise. Now, that's for coyotes. Fox, probably not as severe as coyotes. Bobcats, if you move, if you twitch an eye, they're going to know where you're at, and it's going to change the situation. Now, bobcats are much different than coyotes. They still might come in, but 9 times out of 10, those bobcats, what they're going to do is they're going to come in to a certain distance to where they can see what's going on. They can see a general area where they think the sound's coming from, and they're just going to sit and watch. They're going to take down every square inch of the area. So if you're sitting over there fidgeting around everything else, you generally probably won't even see the bobcat. That's why bobcat, daytime bobcat calling, 100%, I take my camouflage more serious. I get way more still. I stay on stand longer. And I know these are all tough things to do for fidgety people, ADD people, and children and whatnot. But if you want to up your success rate, keep the moving to a minimum. Now, I understand sometimes you're going to have to move. It is what it is. But if you'll keep it to a minimum, you will up your success rate, especially daytime bobcat calling. Anyways, moving on. Again, love you, Tim. But, I don't know, Tim is kind of old, so maybe he can't see the coyotes. Maybe he just is like, I got to get on.
Yeah.
So, number three. Again, this was a very hard list to put together. I mean, the first two, you know, we should probably change the name of this to most common mistakes while daytime predator hunting. Because nighttime puts a whole different variable on the situation. Like, obviously moving is not as important when it's nighttime. But anyways, daytime predator hunting. Number three, missing because you haven't practiced enough. Like, just straight up missing the animal. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Anybody who kills, hunts enough predators is going to miss. I usually have one good whiff every season, if not a couple. But it's also because I'm not afraid to take super long shots. I'm not afraid to take super complicated shots. The way my brain works is I assign percentages, hit percentages, to the animal based off of my skill level. So as soon as I see an animal, depending on the yardage and what it's doing and everything else, the way my brain works, as soon as it's not looking, I'm on it. And I'm on it always. Because no matter what you're doing, there can always be that situation where the coyote just decides to turn around and leave. It's the same thing with a bobcat or anything else. So I'm always on it. I'm always ready. I'm always got the hardest part out of the way to where I can focus on the shot. Now, the way my brain works is as soon as I see it, depending on the yardage, how it's moving, how fast it's moving, what the terrain topography is like, I'm assigning percentages in my brain's working off percentages. Like, that's about a 50% chance I can hit that animal where it's at. Or, oh, he just stopped broadsided at 100 yards. That's 100%, you know, opportunity for myself. So I am willing to take my personal opinion, I'm willing to go down to about a 30% hit opportunity. Like, and 30% is probably going to be like, it's moving as fast as it possibly can run through lots of terrain topography. Like, it's one of those very tough shots. And I'm running like a slower cartridge, such as like a, you know, heavier projectile that's moving sub 3,000 feet per second. And I say that slower because most of our varmint hunting stuff, we're running beyond 3,400 feet per second. And I'll get into that another day. Like, there's a 12-minute talk coming up to where I talk about moving shots, velocity of projectile. But anyways, I'm assigning hit percentages. And every year I have one to, I'm going to say one to five misses. You know, it is what it is. And now that I've been playing with the slower, and quote unquote slower, because in a predator hunting world, the six arc is a little bit slower, unless you build out some super long barrel, lightweight projectile. But like the stuff I'm playing with, it's 3,300 and less, mostly because I like to run the short barrel stuff. I'm working around 3,000 feet per second, and on a moving coyote like that's hauling ass, your lead is substantially more. So I'm assigning that based off of my ability to shoot a much lower hit percentage. And you're going to miss. It's predator hunting. It's a wild animal. Your shot opportunities are much more than it's, say, deer hunting. So you're going to miss. Like, you have much more of an opportunity to miss. Like, things are going to happen. You're going to hit tree limbs. You're going to hit a piece of barbed wire. Like, I've literally seen it all through years of predator hunting, like, trying to shoot through a fence, and you didn't realize that you're literally lined up with a strand of barbed wire. Tree limbs, get lost in the grass, miss moving shots. Like, sometimes you get so hyped up, you just flat out miss. So that's where practice comes in. And that's where I see people have the most amount of trouble with predator hunting is it's a smaller target than a whitetail. They don't stay still very long. You get super excited really easily. And people don't practice enough, so you miss. So the most common occurring mistake is you don't practice enough. I mean, that's pretty simple, yeah. And practice the way you're going to hunt, not just off of bench. Like, I myself am a fantastic bench rest style shooter because that's where I spend over 80% of my time shooting because of, you know, Allied Munitions, testing ammo. Like, a lot of stuff's done off bench out to 600 yards. So I'm not scared to be confident in my ability. I could shoot tiny groups with just about any rifle. But what I will do is I'll practice off my shooting sticks or, you know, my tripod from MDT that I like to use the most predator hunting. I'll practice that a lot. And I'll practice any way I intend on hunting on that particular trip. Like, if for that trip, we're going to be hunting off of a tripod a lot, I'll shoot up more off tripod. And then that will also lead me down the path of understanding, like, my capabilities. Like, oh, I know off a tripod, I'm good to 400 yards on coyote-sized targets. So, if you want to be more successful at hunting predators during the daytime, you better practice quite a bit. And that's just the fact. Like, you can call in all the coyotes in the world. If you can't hit them, you're not going to get any of them. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. But I think that's a good place to wrap this little 12-minute talk up. We are out of time. Be sure and go check out alleymunitions.com. Lots of new stuff on there. And if you're in Midland, go buy Alley Outdoors. Lots of new stuff in there as well. And we are having a Black Friday sale this year.
Correct. Yeah, so we close that Wednesday, Thursday, you know, for Thanksgiving. But we're going to do probably the biggest sale we've ever done for Black Friday. Maybe on the podcast we'll kind of talk about some of the stuff that week we released. But yeah, we're going to do some crazy doorbusters type stuff, you know, stuff under cost in some cases. There'll be like a general just promotion.
It's going to be huge.
If you're looking for anything, that's going to be the time to...
Wait, should we do the giveaway on 12-minute talk or the full podcast?
Full okay. Podcast.
Okay, yeah. You better watch the full podcast if it hadn't already come out.
Oh, yeah, because that'll be next week.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, so we're going to be doing that. I mean, we'll have Black Rifle there serving coffee to everybody.
And I am going to do something on the website. It won't be as extensive as the store. But I'm going to do it. I mean, there's some certain products, like definitely shotgun ammo.
Yeah.
I'm going to run a sale. And I'll do a few sales for, basically, if you listen to the podcast, you're gonna be in the know.
Yeah, but I mean, I definitely, if you're, you know, there's going to be some suppressor brands we're going to be clearing out at a very cheap price. There's going to be a lot of shotgun ammo sales. And probably there'll be a general, you know, discount. Be a good time to buy anything if you've kind of been waiting on it, thinking about it. So, yeah.
201 Spring Park Drive, Midland, Texas. It's definitely worth, even if it's a little bit of a drive, it's definitely worth coming up on a weekend and checking it out. Because like, it is a massive store, indoor gun range, 100-yard ranges, good benches, chronographs. The pistol bays, they're 50 yards. I always forget this. Are they 35 or 50?
25.
25. Totally wrong.
Yeah.
It's an indoor gun range, cafe, retail spot that's really retail. We've done a lot of work over the past year since starting January, really molding it into the gun store that needs to be. And I mean, we're still getting more and more product in, but it's hard to keep up with everything else. But we have way better selections than we've ever had. So come check it out. And with that, we'll see you guys next time.